Okay, Exodus chapter 16, we're going to be looking at it. And as you know with me, I always tie reports into the message. So it's kind of like a combination message slash report is what you're going to get from me today. And we're at Exodus chapter 16 in our Bible reading as a congregation. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 this morning. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" 2020, interesting year, wasn't it? I would also add to that that 2021's been an interesting year, and it's only been a few weeks. We had challenges and trials all over the place, things we did not expect to happen at all in 2020. When we first got the word of the lockdowns that were taking place and the confusion of whether churches should be open or churches should be closed, and we didn't get any clear answer, then we got a clear answer, then they came back and said that wasn't the clear answer, and it was really difficult, and the staff was working very hard to try to find a balance. Because as you know, anybody here who's a leader understands that during 2020, and it doesn't matter what you are a leader of, you were hit from both sides. You had both extremes coming at you. You had one extreme coming at you saying that this is ridiculous, we shouldn't be doing anything. Then you have another extreme who's saying we're going overboard. And you just learn as a leader during these times, you really can't win because you hear it from both sides. So you try to do the best you can to balance it out and to understand what's what, what's true, what's right. But the one thing that I am encouraged about is that during 2020, New Hope still made a way to continuously promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. That did not stop. Now, understandably, we did it in different methods through the live stream, Jen doing virtual VBS, but think about all the people that were touched and reached during the virtual times and people that are still being touched during virtual times of the live stream, that we did not cease to understand that there was a passion that we have is that, okay, if we can't do this, we understand. If we can't do this, we get it. If we can't do this, we get it. But there's one thing we're gonna find a way to do is this. And that is we're gonna continue to promote the gospel and we're gonna continue to proclaim his word. Even if it is through a computer from the pastor's house, which happened a few times, as you know, whatever it may need to be, that's what we're about. Because one of the things that we need to understand at times is that it's times like this and in 2020 that shows us what really is essential when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to church, and when it comes to what we need to have for ministry. And we start to realize what is essential. There's a story, I forget the name of the bishop at this time, but this is centuries ago. There, during a similar pandemic, what this priest would do is he would go to the different street corners and offer communion to the people, and people would actually watch him out their window give mass. What that tells me is this isn't anything new, folks. This has been going on for centuries. This isn't anything new. And here, what was he doing? That was his way of doing a virtual mass 400 some years ago. The same type of a thing that we did and we are doing virtually. So the most important thing is what's essential is his word and getting his word out and people coming to know who Christ is. And that happened. We heard stories from several people, but especially one within the first month I was called and by a member of New Hope who said, "Pastor, I just need to talk to you because I just was able to lead somebody to Christ." And that just tells you how much that, you know, hey, if we're under lockdown, we're under restrictions, we got to wear masks, we got to do whatever, hey, whatever. But we're still going to find a way to get the message out there. We're still going to find a way to spread the gospel. We're still going to find a way for the word of God to get through. And that isn't just us. God does that as well, you know? God does that. That's just the way God is. You know, you can try to keep God out, but it's not possible. There's many countries who've tried to kick God out. It's not possible. He always finds a way in, doesn't he? He always finds a way in to communicate the truth to his people. And that's what I am convinced that he did during this very unpredictable season and during this very unpredictable time. But having said that, there's a few people I still would like to acknowledge. And number one is the New Beginnings ministry continued after the lockdown, and they were able to come together after we were able to have a little bit of space and to do things. They started making deliveries to those in need. So the New Beginnings ministry is something that is powerful to touch the lives of those who are in need, and I'm excited that they were still able to do so. And of course, now, the people watching live stream can't really do this, but you can. I want everyone right now, if you would turn around, please. If everyone would turn around and look back in that. Look back in that box back there, okay? And of course, Joe's normally back there as well, so Joe, I'll make you stand again. But folks, these guys got us through this time for the live stream, our outdoor services, you name it, they were there. They got us through. Give them a hand today. We could not have done it without them and their efforts and what they were able to pull off during this time. Also, if you serve on the worship team in any capacity, please stand. You continue to do a great job to lead us in worship during this difficult time. Thank you very much. So this has been a great season, and not a great season, but it's been a great time to see what God can do during difficult times. But I wanted to touch base on our reading for today, which I think is interesting. We have the story of Moses, and the whole story of Moses, I just find very interesting. It's just very intriguing. Because it all starts when he's the burning bush and God talks to him and God is telling him what he wants him to do. And he says, hey, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, oh, you got the wrong guy. I can't talk. And then he says, okay, but who gave man his mouth? I know what I'm doing. And then he sends Aaron with him. So Moses finally goes up with Aaron and says, all right, here we are. We're doing what God told us to do. Hey, Pharaoh, yeah. God said, let his people go. Pharaoh, nope. God, you asked us to do this. Go try again. Hey, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Nope. Who is your God to me? God, something's wrong here. You told me to do this. It's not happening. You told me that it's not taking place. You ever been there? You ever been there where you think you're being obedient to God and you think you're doing what he's called you to do and you're wondering, but it just doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. And in fact, in the story of Moses, what happened was Pharaoh goes, okay, since you're bothering me, I'm going to make the people suffer more. And then he made the people suffer more, so the people started to hate Moses because he was doing what God told him to do. Sometimes we have this vision in our mind, don't we, of what things are going to be. A lot of us had in our mind what 2020 was going to look like, goals we had set, things we saw, things we expected. It just didn't quite go the way we expected, did it? And a lot of times we get that in our minds and we think it's going to be this, but the truth of the matter is when you look at ministry, and not just ministry, but when you look at Christianity based on scripture, it is never easy. It's always difficult. That's why James tells us chapter 1, verse 2 of his letter, he says, hey, when you face trials of many kinds, consider it joy. Not if, when this is going to happen. And why is that? Because we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need to face the facts that we're in a spiritual battle, which means nothing is ever going to go smooth. Ever. And that's the hardest thing for me, because my mind and my imagination goes wild when I think about what God called and what God said and what God wants me to be involved in. And I have pictures of this and pictures. I mean, when he first called me to preach, it was like, hey, look out, Billy Graham, here I come. You know, that's, but it's not anything like that. And even when Billy Graham gave you an account of his ministry, it didn't even sound like that. You know how many times Billy Graham, they wanted to assassinate him? See, ministry's hard. Christianity's hard. And that's what we see in this passage. And I want you to see what's happening in this passage today. He says, in verse 3, the sons of Israel said to them, to Moses and Aaron, this is what they have to say. Thank you for bringing us out of slavery. No. It must be hard for you, Moses. We understand. No. What do they say? We would have rather died back there. At least we had pots to eat. Yeah, life was horrible. We were in slavery, but you have brought us out here to die. See, everything they wanted, all of a sudden, they're complaining. And I want you to think for a moment, the idea of complain, when they use complain here, complain is this idea of murmur, which means you're kind of murmuring, you're saying it under your breath, you know, Moses is going to, he's brought us out here to die. He brought us out here to, maybe Moses was even walking by at one point, you know, where it's like, he brought us out here to, hi, how you doing, Moses? Hey, he brought us out here to die. Can you believe he brought us out here. And then it just grows and it grows and it grows. And it's no wonder how many times throughout this story that Moses says, God, why did you send me here? Why? So look at God's response. And if we're not careful, we miss the importance of God's response and what he says. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Now, why is he doing this? Is it because they're complaining? Is it because they are, he's concerned for them? Is it because he has compassion for them because they must be having hunger pains? No. He says the reason right after this. He says, I will bring bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether or not they walk in my instruction. So God took their complaints and he used the response of, okay, I'll give you bread from heaven. I'll give you manna from heaven, yes. But I'm doing this for one purpose, is to test you to see if you have learned to do what I say. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? That the main purpose behind what God is doing is, yeah, I just want to see if you've learned to take my instruction. Because one of the things you'll find about God is he is insistent that his instructions get followed. I share this at Bread and Soup. You've probably heard me share it before, that I've been a minister now for almost 25 years, and not one time has God ever asked me for my opinion. He's never said, hey, Chad, you know, I just don't quite know what to do with this whole Middle East thing. Is there any way, do you have any insight on this, you know? No, he's never asked me, and I would hope that that's true for everybody here. If you believe he has asked you for your opinion, see me after the service and maybe we can straighten that out. But no, he's not going to. Why? Because he's God and he has his instructions and his whole purpose is, okay, oh yeah, they're complaining. I hear they're complaining. Manna from heaven, what's the purpose? Because I want to see if they're going to follow what I say. And then later on in the passage, they have some issues with that later on in the chapter, and God goes to Moses and says, why have they disobeyed again? Now, what do I say about that? Well, I say, you know, the goals we have for 2021 as a church and as a body, it's very hard, as everybody has been saying, it's very hard to plan, right? Everything is so fluid, it is very hard to plan on what we're going to do next. Because as you have learned, things can change in one day with everything going on. We have no idea. But we're doing the best we can to plan accordingly, and the ministries continue, and the VBS that Jen was talking about, and the pastoral care, and the New Beginnings ministry, and the Swaziland mission, and everything that we have. We're doing our best to plan all of those things. But at the very crust of that, at the very foundation of everything we do, not just as a church, but as believers in Christ, as following Jesus, every follower of Christ, the bottom line is we are here to follow his directions. Right? That's why we're here. Is to follow what he says. And it is in times like this that it might bring it back to us to remind us that that is what our purpose is. Now, well, Chad isn't planning part of his instructions? I mean, are you saying the goals aren't? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the foundation must be that we remember why we do what we do. That we don't do a ministry or even have a church just to say we have a ministry or have a church. We don't reach out to people just to say we reached out to people. We don't take attendance just to say, to see how much our church is growing or how much it is compared to other ministries. And by the way, if there's one thing 2020 did, it killed the whole debate of attendance when it comes to church. When pastors and when I get together with other pastors, that's the last thing we talk about. We don't even talk about attendance anymore. Because look at how much it's changed. The focus is so off of that, we can't tell. Well, even the live stream. Yeah, we have the analytics on how many watch the live stream, but Joe can tell you that's not solid. You know, if one of you gets on and watches the live stream for 30 seconds, it would count. So you can't even do that. I mean, all of a sudden, God has taken what we're used to out of our hands. And I believe that, did he do it on purpose? Did he do it to test us? I'm not going to say that, but maybe, possible. I can't say that it's not. But at the very least, I would say he's using all of these times to bring us back to what truly is important, which is the same thing he did with the Israelites, to bring them back to what truly is important, which is following God's instructions, that is what matters. And wouldn't it be something if he would do the same thing with us? Wouldn't it be something if he would take our complaints, our concerns about why things aren't the way we want them to be, and he would turn them back on us and say, okay, I'm giving you this, but here's the stipulation. I want you to follow this because I want to see how much you truly want to please me. Which is what God was saying to them, to follow the directions, follow the instructions. Anyone here ever have a problem with directions or instructions or following instructions? Early on, in our marriage, before I learned my weaknesses and what I wasn't able to do, I had in my mind there were certain things I could do. And it took me some time to realize that, no, Chad, that's not your forte. You know, just to give you an example, there's a reason why Mike never has me do any repairs around the church. Trust me on this one. That's the last thing you want. If you think the budget is having tough times right now, just having to pay for my mistakes would take up about half of the budget. To give you an example, this is just a minor example. We had a bookshelf, just a simple bookshelf, just a bookshelf. You know, bookshelf. Everybody has a bookshelf, you know, bookshelf. It wasn't assembled, right? So how hard can it be? It's a bookshelf, right? It's a bookshelf. So I get it out, and of course, I don't look at the directions. I don't look at anything. I don't even look at the diagrams. I see the screws that they have for it. I have the screwdriver, the drill, and everything set up. And I do wonder at times, who in the world drills these starter holes for these things that are so easy to assemble? You ever been there? You know, these all the starter hole, that's going to help you. This little tiny... That's not a starter hole. At least that's not the starter hole that I need. So I worked on it over and over and finally got it. Finally got this thing together, which should have taken about 10 minutes. It took me about an hour, a little over an hour. And then I was done. Whew, glad. When Miranda comes home, she's going to be quite impressed that I can do something. And then I sat down and looked at it. And I thought, I didn't put any books on the shelf yet, but the inside looks strange. Normally, the inside of a bookshelf doesn't look like that. And I walked around to the back, and then I realized I put the back on backwards. And you know, when that happens, you have two choices. Either you do your best you can to cover it up, or there's only one way to fix it. Take it completely back apart and do it all over again. Now, many of you are like, oh, wow, he's that bad. Man, it's a good thing he's not doing repairs. Yeah, it's a good thing. But I want you to think about directions and instructions in what God is saying to them in this passage and what God is saying to us. And he's given us his word. He's given us his scriptures. And I don't know how God speaks to you, and I can't challenge that, and I'm not going to debate that with you. I don't know if he speaks to you when you look up at the sky. He may. I don't know if he's ever spoken to you audibly. I've heard stories about that. I'm not going to argue with that. But there's one way that I know he certainly does speak to us today. And that is through his word. In fact, I would go as far as to say that if you think he spoke to you when you were looking at the sky, or you think that he spoke to you when you had this experience, that I would ask you to bring whatever you heard God say and bring it back into his scriptures to make sure that it actually was him who was speaking. Because we are blessed beyond measure. Centuries would have given anything to have what we have in the Bible that we have in the scriptures. We have other countries who would give anything to have what we have in the scriptures. We are blessed beyond measure about as far as what God has given us. And so my goal for 2021, with all the ministry aspects, everything that we're planning, everything that you've already heard today that's in the works that we're planning, yes, all of that's included. But at the very bottom line of that, my personal goal is to get into his word more than I ever have. And I would ask you to do the same thing. That's why we have this Zoom Bible study once a month that I started last week. That's why we're doing that, is because the whole purpose is so if all of us can encourage each other to get into his word. Because one of the issues that we have in our life is that so many times, and there's nothing wrong with this, God can do it, and God can work through a lot of things, but so many times we would rather go to each other for advice than to go to his word and to see what it says. And sometimes I wonder if the reason that we do that is because we're kind of afraid of what we're going to find when we go to his word and the scriptures. And you might be sitting there and saying, well, Chad, you know, I am. I read it every day. I don't know what else you're asking for. I'm not asking for anything else. I'm just saying wherever you are and however you're reading the word right now for 2021, make a commitment to do it more. Whatever that is. Well, how much time are we talking, Chad? Hey, I can't give you a time. There's no time for this thing. You can't say a time because there's no limit to this, right? I mean, that's almost like telling me or some of you or many of us that there's a limit at the buffet, right? And wouldn't you like to see those come back? Amen? Come on, right? No, all you can eat is what? That's all you can eat, right? So you pile it on, right? That's what you do when you get, it's the same thing. Treat God's word as a buffet, not with the variety of things. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the actual thing of, oh my goodness, look at this food. I just want to eat until I can't eat. I just want to eat until I'm about ready to bust. You've done that before, right? Go to the buffet. You probably shouldn't get that, but you put it on your plate anyway. You probably shouldn't get more, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And it's okay because I'm not gonna eat anything tomorrow. It's okay because I won't eat for the next 2 days. It's okay because whatever. But that's what's on our mind, right? Because it looks so, and I want you to see God's word in that way, that it's as if you're saying, God, I can't get enough of your word. Instead of saying, how much should I do? I can't help myself and I can't get enough. You might think that that's pretty simplistic as a goal for 2021. And it does. It sounds very simplistic. But the truth is, the foundation of who we are and the foundation of following Christ comes back to his instruction, comes back to what he has to say. So I'm interested in what you think about the idea that if God has already done this, and I would suggest he has in many ways, if he's already done the same thing to us, that he's like, okay, I'm giving you this, but this is a test to see if you'll follow my instruction. And I just wonder if God would come to you right now, would he say, hey, you've been following it. Or would he be saying, why haven't you been doing what I said? Because that's what is the most important. You know, we look for so many answers everywhere else, but we don't need to. Because, well, how am I supposed to treat my family? It's in his word. How am I supposed to treat my brother, my sister? It's in his word. What type of attitude am I supposed to have? It's in his word. What am I allowed to say? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? Am I allowed to talk about people? Am I allowed to gossip? Am I allowed? It's in his word. See, it's all there. It's all in the instructions. How am I supposed to act at work? It's there. It's all there. And God, I believe, is bringing us to a moment in time where all of us are saying, God, with all of this, we don't know. And probably the best thing coming out of this season is the statement, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what we can put our faith in or we can put our stock in. We have no idea. Are we going to be open tomorrow? Are we not going to be open? We have no idea. But what we do have is your word. And so, God, show us. Show us how we can be in your word and read your word and study your word and allow your word to speak to our hearts exactly what we need to hear. May we be guided according to what you have to say. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for everything that you mean to us. We ask today that you would guide us, direct us, teach us, show us your ways. We don't want to depend on our own, as we've learned more than ever now that our own ways don't even come close to yours. Lord, we want to be people of one book, people of the Bible, people of the scriptures. You gave us the instructions. May we have a heart and a passion to read and study so that you can show us how we are to live. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.